I'm standing declaring on that. How about you? I have several announcements that I want to make, and please pay close attention before Terry comes to receive tithe and offer today. I want to give you instructions, okay? But the first announcement is graduation of Miss Callie Ann Kroll. It's her graduation. And Millie, if you will lay that on the table. Here you go. It's an invitation for all of us. And that is May 20th at 7 p.m. There you go. That's for that. Now listen closely. We're doing something a little different Memorial Day. Saturday on May 28th, Memorial Day weekend. You know, it's just like a yard sale. Well, we've never ever entered into that, but we're going to try something different this year. With our fellowship hall and our kitchen, we will be setting up or selling food, hot dogs, a lunch bag to go or to eat down there from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. See Cherie Nicholson for that. There is a sign-up sheet on back table for anyone that will help with food. We are going to volunteer the food, and then the proceeds will go to help all of these projects. We have a carport here that we put up. We're working on a fire pit down here, and this building outside needs painting to match everything. We want to do a little bit of ornamental rock work on the columns and just get everything finished. If you haven't been down to the Fellowship Hall basement, it looks immaculate. Chris and Amanda are doing a wonderful job with the game room, and it's a good place for these youth to hang because they need something. You know, there's not a lot here in this county, but God's presence is here, and sometimes that's all we need. Amen. But they need a place to go and to hang, amen? There was a sign-up sheet for that. All proceeds. Now, if you want to set up a table, we're even going to allow that this year for one day, Saturday only. You have to bring your own table, your own stuff that you want to sell, your own chairs to sit in. Stay as long as you'd like, but everything has to be cleared out of here by Saturday. We will not have one thing for sale on the Sabbath day. And it cannot be stored here at church, okay? Because we've got to keep things uncluttered because we're doing a lot of projects and we're moving on, okay? Anyone wishing to set up or sign up for the yard sale, please see Lisa Clifton on that. There's a sign-up sheet. And Cherie. Okay, I think I took care of that. Now for the final thing about tithe and offering today. A lot of times we'll take up the tithe and offering and then take up an honorarium for the guest speaker. We're not doing it that way today, so pay attention. When you fill out your tithe and envelope offering, you know, the tithe is holy unto the Lord, put that in. And if you would like to sow a seed in Dr. Tom and Dr. Sid's Renfro's ministry, and believe me, that is good ground, mark it that way. Not your tithe, but your offering. Because they don't want your tithe. They want the offering of the Lord that you freely give to them. Okay? So do it that way. I've already marked mine. See, I've already paid my tithe, so I'm marking mine. Deborah Coleman, this is for Todd Sid Renfro. I already know what God wanted me to give, and I got it ready. So you can prepare that before Terry comes, and he won't have to go through all that. But it'll be one offering today, not two. Okay? So we got that taken care of. Well, it's good to see in God's house. As far as I'm concerned, you are blessed this morning with the very best in the house. I cannot tell you, they don't even realize how much I honor these two. It's a connection that's in me that they probably don't even have a clue. When you're fighting the fight of your life and someone that really doesn't know you from Adam takes time from a family practice who is a very busy man to drive 3 or more hours to come and sit in your house right across the couch from you and talk to you about faith and talk to you about what he went through. Hey, that's Jesus Christ. Sometimes folks, I know sometimes I'm a bottom line person and I don't mean to be rude, but you know, sometimes I like to just get to the point, but you know what? Sometimes we got to take time. And Sid is a powerhouse of a woman. It wouldn't bother me which one preached today because I know they both got the same spirit in them. She's over a ladies' ministry, and she may share some of that with you to let you know where she's headed, where she's going, the new men's ministry that Doc is over. They need to tell that because they know that more than I do. But I am honored to have you back with us. It seems like it's been forever. We've all went through hell these last 2 years with COVID and lockdown and shutouts. And no. Thank you for coming, mister. I love you. I love you, Sid, and thank you.
Amen. Well, let's all stand together this morning and let's give the Lord a big praise today. Can we do that? Tell him to give me a little bit more juice on this mic right here. Can you do that? Just a little bit more power on the house mic. Or can you hear me real good? I just like it loud. I'm sorry. But it is an honor to have Doc and Sid with us today. And I know that you're going to be blessed by the word of God that comes forth. And I saw some of you coming in this morning. You're not going to be disappointed. We have a healer in the house and his name is Jesus. Somebody say amen. I think about what he bore for us and what he did for us. And I want you to know before you ever got here this morning, he bore your sickness and carried your disease. And with his stripes, you were healed. Amen. And so today, we just believe in God that faith levels will rise and that the presence and the power of God will just begin to work and move. And who knows, you know what the Lord might do. I would just say, receive right now in Jesus' name. And we're glad that you're here today. So we want to invite the presence of God and ask him to have his way. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we just thank you, God, for your power, your presence. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost. We thank you today for all that you're going to do in advance. Lord, we are here to worship you and to magnify your name. We ask you right now, God, to breathe upon every heart, breathe upon every life. We thank you, Lord, that we believe right now that the spirit of faith, Father God, is rising, Lord God, and Holy Spirit, that you're moving upon people to bring that faith about, God, for people today to receive that miracle in their body. And Lord, we speak that forth in the name of Christ. Now, Lord, come and be magnified in the midst of us. We thank you for what you're going to do today. We just thank you today and honor you for the man and woman of God and just pray that you supernaturally bless, pour yourself into them and through them today in Jesus' name. And everybody gave a good shout and praise to the Lord this morning. Do that one more time and let's worship him.
Courageous. I may not not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
Faithfulness. Your name is faithful and true. Thank you, Lord.
You heard your children. You hear your children. You are the same. You are the same. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You move in power then.
Faithful King, the Sovereign One, we bless you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless you, O Lord. You are faithful and true. Oh, you make a way where there seems to be no way. Rivers in the desert. You make oceans roads to drive through. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, O God.
What you need in your life, but whatever that it is, He is the only one that can feel that need. Jesus, we just thank you. You are Lord. We bless you. You are our first love. We run to you, Lord, when things don't go the right way, when something happens, when catastrophe comes. You make a way. All things work to the good of the righteous. We thank you, Lord.
are still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. My guiding light, you're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night. You have my heart, you've won my heart. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul rejoice.
You are still my first love, and all I'm longing for.
Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul rejoices. Oh, my soul. We rejoice in you, O God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. You hold my every moment. You
You walk with me through fire and heal all my diseases. I trust in you. I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe
We bless you, Lord. I believe the healer just walked in. It all changes now. Everything changes now. The healer is here. We bless you, Lord Jesus.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you.
Oh, we say, just come. We surrender it. We surrender everything to you. We lay it all down. We surrender to you, oh Lord.
All things are possible. We don't rejoice because we don't have issues and we don't have struggles, but we rejoice because we know who.
I want to say what a joy it is today to have Doc and Sid Renfro with us. And man, I'm telling you, what an awesome testimony. Both of them. You are going to be blessed this morning. And so whatever it is that you need, number one, it's not in the man. It's what God puts in the man and what God does through the man. And so today God has this service ordained to touch your life. And so you plug in and let the Lord have his way. But I'm going to get... today, Doc was telling me Sid is the spokesman, so we're going to have Sid to come up. And she may just take over. I have no way. You know, I know we were talking about, I was telling how Deborah was. I said, man, when they get wound up, I say, just do it. Just go for it. Amen. And so we appreciate them so much. God bless you, sister.
Thank you, Pastor, Miss Deborah. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of being here. I preached yesterday, so you're safe. Doc said, go ahead if you need to. I said, nah, I got to rest my throat today. I've been out on the circuit. But I wanted to tell you, as he adjusts the camera, adjust the cameras, that since we were here last, he has written a book. And he waited 25 years to write this book, 23, I think. And everybody, everywhere we went, Doc, if you would write a book, Doc, if you would write a book. But finally, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him to write a book. You know, we know that the Bible was written when the Holy Ghost moved upon the men of old. And they waited to get that divine inspiration. And so he wasn't moved by all the men. Pat Robertson, 700 Club, said, you write a book, we'll have you on. He's already had him on twice since then. He kept his word. Now some didn't. Another big ministry, every time we saw him, he was like, I want that book, I want that book, and we've sent it twice, and but it hadn't happened. But this book is not just a testimony. This is something that you can use over and over and over. It is a teaching guide. Doc has spent years learning Hebrew in the old Hebrew as the Israelis speak it. He doesn't speak. I took Hebrew in college. It's not like what we learn in school. He's gone to Israel, stayed 3 weeks at a time, sat with the rabbis, and walked the pathways. The department of the man who's over the Department of Transportation in Israel was their guide. And they got to crawl in ditches and go under bridges that tours can't go because of insurance. But because of the permits he has, he took them all over Israel. And you will get such good nuggets in this book as he teaches and he shares personal things. It's called Avenues of Healing. You know, we have avenues and streets. It means ways to get there. And he talks about different ways and approaches to healing. And it's very educational. And it's something you will go back to and refer to again. And you will look up. He has a lot of pictures. It's just a good thing to, it's a tool. It's not just a book. It is a tool. And he says, if you have somebody who is dying, don't send them flowers that's going to die and depress them further. Send them the living word of God. Something they can get in their belly. And I want to say we're very proud to say that the proceeds that we have been getting from selling this, we have had it translated into Spanish. And as of May the 24th, it goes all over Cuba at no cost to them. They have no money. But we have absorbed the cost to have it printed in Spanish and to have all the work done and as of May the 24th. And you know, to get it printed, it had to be printed there because you can't take books into Cuba. You can't take it into a lot of those countries. And they said they had to put a little boy at the door to watch and sneak and print. America, how blessed we are that we can carry these around, have them on our nightstand, and they had to hide in the back of a shop and print this book and had to have people watching if someone came in the front door. So, but we're honored that a man who is over many, many missionaries is going to be going in on May 24th, and he's going to get it all over Cuba. We're looking at Mexico. We're looking. So God has blessed us, and we're not just trying to make money. This is to get the healing word. See, they don't have hospitals and clinics like we have that they get a sore throat, they go to the doctor. They have major cuts that need many stitches and they don't go to the doctor. And when Dr. Renfro opened a new clinic a few years ago, there was a boat that came to the East Coast. And see, in Virginia or in our part of the woods, if you open a new clinic, you can't take your old stuff. You have to put new stuff. And so a EKG machine, x-ray machine, the stethoscopes that the doctors use are like $1,500 each. The Procto things are $5,000 each. And he just loaded every bit of that from that clinic and sent it to which country, honey? Cuba? Okay, I couldn't remember. And they said it's the nicest, they sent us pictures, the nicest medical facility in the country. So, and that's what proceeds from us. We're not about ourselves. Yesterday I preached and the Lord said, there's a little woman back there, said her husband has left her. She has no money. He said, when they hand you that offering, you hand it to her. See, it can't be about us. It can't, and that's the way the Lord can bless us. That's how the Lord can, and he's always done that. And I saw my daddy do that all his life, that I just learned how to operate. And it keeps the windows of heaven open. I feel an open heaven over this building today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you in this house. Lift up your hands. Lift your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to meet every need. Lord, every need supplied. I call on the God of provision that we mentioned earlier in a song. You are that God of provision. I have seen you make a way when there was no way. I saw you open the doors in Cuba, and now I see the doors opening in other countries for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward. We love you, Almighty God. We bless you and honor you and adore you, and we lift you up. Dr. Renfro, the healed of the Lord. The healed of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I tell you what, it's hard to come behind that. You know? But I thank Pastor Dave and Deborah for being in the kingdom and the work that you're doing. You all in this church is a blessing in the kingdom of God. And I'm sure it's a absolute blessing in this region. And praise God. Now I know why God healed you. Because you're a blessing. And he's got more work for you to do and more blessings to pour out. But I want to talk to you today about faith. And about faith to be healed. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14. These two missionary fellas were running around Asia Minor. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had recently been preaching in a city called Iconium, where they preached Jesus and him crucified. And many of the Jews and Gentiles believed on him, but many did not. And the ones that did not rose up against them, threatened their lives, and they left that intolerable situation, and they fled to Lystra in a place called Derbe, there below Turkey. And I want to pick up in Acts chapter 14 and in verse 6. I was just setting you the stage of what was happening. They were aware of it, talking about the people that were coming against them. And they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities in Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. We're talking about faith to be healed. I wonder what Paul preached that day. I wonder what Paul said and what those words that he preached were so powerful that it penetrated into this crippled man laying there listening to Paul. What was it that he said that so captured his heart and captured his soul that faith, so much faith arose in him that it was faith to be healed, and Paul perceived it. Here we have a man that had never walked. Had never been on his feet before, had never cruised as a baby, had been lame from his mother's womb, but those words so captured his heart and his soul and were so powerful and so life-giving that faith reached beyond his infirmity into his healing. Perhaps Paul preached Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Perhaps he told the people the day about those four fellas there by the Sea of Galilee that came to Capernaum, and they brought a man that was sick of the palsy, that was paralyzed, that couldn't even get out of his bed, and they brought the bed and all, the man in him. And they came to that house in Capernaum, and there were so many crowded into that house to hear the teachings of the Son of God declaring himself in that house. They couldn't get in the front door. And so they climbed up on the roof, and you know the story. They tore the roof off and lowered this bed, man and all, there in front of Jesus. And Jesus first looked at him and said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the crowd was aghast. Who can forgive sins? And Jesus looked at him and said, "Whether is it easier to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house." Perhaps as this crippled man heard the words of God, the gospel of Jesus, perhaps Paul went on to explain to him about this man Jesus, that he was more than a man, that he was literally the Son of God. He was the healer that was talked about in Psalms 103. He was the very embodiment of the Word himself, that forgives sins, that heals, that restores, that answers prayers, and that gives us strength day to day to press through this world. Maybe Paul went on to talk about the man in John chapter 5, the man that had no man, the man laying by the pool of Bethesda, the man that had no man to help him, who had some sort of sickness that left him paralyzed like this man that was listening to Paul, that had to crawl to try to get into the troubled waters. The man that couldn't ambulate, couldn't get up, and had nobody to help him. But yet there was one that went directly to him. Of all the infirm there at Bethesda, the man that came daily to the pool, hoping, believing for the troubled waters, only to be turned away. A man not unlike this man, this certain man of Lystra, that was listening to Paul preach. And the Word of God says in John chapter 5, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. Think about it. 38 years he had been in this condition. And when he saw, and when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked." I wonder how many healing miracles Jesus or Paul talked about Jesus as he spoke that day in Lystra. The miracles of healing the blind, the miracles of opening up ears that couldn't hear, the healing of leprosy, the stretching out of withered arms, even raising the dead. I don't know what he talked about. I don't know what he preached. But one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, "Would you roll back time and let me just stand in the corner and listen to the powerful words of this preacher that so moved a man that faith arose to be healed. I want to hear what the Son of God had to say. I want to understand more about how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. I want to know more about how he suffered the punishment of my sin upon him. And through the suffering and the bleeding of the stripes on his back, he paid a sacrifice for me to be healed. And not only be healed, but to be restored back into health. That lame man that was laying there in Lystra, faith, as he heard the words of God, as you've heard the words of God today, as you've entered into the worship of our Lord and Savior, surely faith arises. Many of you are like me, walking up and getting the tissue out to dry the tears as the Spirit of God moved on you. That word of God, he heard that. You know, it's funny. We talk about these people in the Bible all the time, and God never gives them a name. We don't even know who they are. We don't know who they are. And I understand why. It's because that's where I can put my name. That's where I can put myself, and I can place myself in that situation. And I've been there, and I can understand what they're going through. But this man believed so much that healing faith arose. And when he heard the command of Paul, speaking with the authority of a believer, stand upright on thy feet, he jumped up and leaped and walked. A man that had never had his feet on the ground. I tell you, the words of the gospel are powerful. They will not fall to the ground. They are established eternally, for they are truth. They are sure. They will not crumble. They are absolute. They are complete in every way. The word of God, as Jesus said, are like seeds. It's like an acorn. An acorn looks so small, but yet it has all the potential to become a mighty oak. Everything is needed in there. And the word of God is just like that. The word of God may seem so small and insignificant, but it contains all the potential that the word says to do what it says, and it will not return void. So is the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the word says, "The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses, says, "I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Faith. All these verses deal with faith. So I ask you, what is faith? How do you define faith? These verses talk about how we must live by faith, how we can reach in faith, and how through faith we can have God move on our behalf. What is faith? Let's define faith. And faith is so simple. It simply means believing in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, who was the Word made flesh. You want to hold Jesus? Just grab hold of your Bible. The embodiment of the Word of God. You see, we are a three-point part person, Pastor. We have this physical body that we have to deal with. Thank God, one day we're going to shake the dust off of our soul and spirit. But we are a three-part person, and we still have to deal with this physical body. And we have a soul, and the soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. But on top of that layer is our spirit, which is our direct connection with God. Now, let me tell you, faith is not related to physical problems, to physical terms. Faith is not a thing of the mind that you imagine, that you think up. Faith is not an emotion. And faith is not something that puts will on you. But faith has to do with the spiritual connection with God, our connection with God. And when he breathed his breath of life into us, into man, and we became a living soul, he put that spirit of God in us, in the ability to believe in him. Every one of us has been given, as it says in Romans 12:3, the measure of faith, the ability to believe in God, his word, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And think about it. Of all the creation, of all the creatures that he made, great and small, he only breathed his breath into man. Animals are driven by instinct. And animals, even though they have a mind, sometimes they make bad choices, like those two-legged animals. They have emotions. They have a will. But they don't have the capacity to believe. They don't have the capacity to reach beyond the natural, to believe in the supernatural, to reach beyond their present time into the future, to believe, the capacity to believe, to hope, to reach in faith. But you do, and I do, because we have a connection with God. And thank God he's given me the capacity to believe in his Son, to believe in the words of truth, to believe in God himself. And he's also given us the ability to reach beyond what is into what can be. The secular world, the world as we know it, deals totally in facts. Facts. And the world, the secular world, wants to confine you to facts, to limit you to just facts. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, don't deal with facts. The kingdom of heaven deals in truth. And there's a difference between facts and truth, because facts change, but truth never does. Truth is eternal. Truth is the same always, yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change. It's eternal. It's established. And that's why this word of God will never change. It is the truth that we can build our lives on, build our hope on, and that we can believe in. And the word of God never changes. I'll give you an example. 25 years ago, I was eat up with cancer. Had tumors on my neck, size of apples. Tumors under my arms, the size of cantaloupes. I developed a size 60 waist, full of cancer. The CT scan showed tumors the size of basketballs and footballs. I'd had blood clots due to impediment of the venous return from my legs I had pulmonary embolism. I was in renal failure, bone marrow failure. I was even laying in a bed developing bed sores on my backside. Those were all facts. The physicians that took care of me did not think I would live, because everything was pointing towards death. But we chose to hold on to truth. And do you know God intervened because of faith of the church and faith of people? And God brought a miraculous healing into my life. And suddenly the facts changed from facts that were to the truth that is. The facts had to line up with the truth and the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word is solid. It's sure. The Lord, Word of God will hold you, because I believe. And the Word says, all things are possible to him that believeth. So today, I want you to hear the words of God and have faith for healing, to reach beyond your facts for today and into what God says can be, and to hold on to that. We have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And my faith is not dependent on facts. My faith is based on the truth, the Word of God. And what the Word says, I believe it. I may not see it now. I may not know when it's coming, but I'm going to hold on to it till it gets there. And I'm going to believe God's going to perform what he said he would do. I love Hebrews chapter 11. The halls of faith. There's a mask. I don't need those anymore. But I do need something to dry my tears. Thank God for his Spirit. Thank God for his love for us. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I look at this word, and it says, now faith. Now, I understand if you're an English major, this is what you call a primary particle. And it's like an introduction to a sentence. And what in the English means, it means now faith and faith, moreover faith is. Or it can be, but faith is. It's just an introduction to a simple sentence. But when I look at this, I look at the word now faith. Now is what you're going through right now. This is your now moment. And now could be the situation that you're facing in your life, whether it be cancer, whether it be problems in your family, whether it be an addiction that's got a hold of your life, whatever sickness is now, whatever the situation is, that is where your now is. And hope for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your hope for is what you're looking for. You may be in your now, and you may be in sickness, but I'm hoping for healing. Your family may be lost, but my hope for is salvation and deliverance and freedom. You may be bound to a substance or to a problem, but my hope is freedom, release from the things that hold me back. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The hope for is where you're wanting to be. Now, how are you going to get from your now to your hoped for? How are you going to get from there to there. You need a substance to walk on. You need something to walk on. You need a faith walk by walking on the Word of God. My substance of things hoped for, the substance that I'm walking on, my path from where I am now into my future and my healing is going to be walking on the Word of God. Pulling the Word of God, it is a substance. It is something solid. It is something I can build my life on. I can walk on that path of life, which is the Word of God, and it will bring me into that hopeful result. My faith is in the Word of God. You can't touch it. You can't see it. Let me give you an example again. Eaten up with cancer, destroying my body. Fact, I was dying. And this fact, this cancer, not only affected me physically, it affected me mentally. It affected me emotionally. Because in my mind, one of the most difficult things I have as a physician is getting rid of the facts and standing on truth. And the Lord showed me a highway, and it had a yellow line, just a single yellow line down the middle. It said, you choose which side you want to walk on. You can walk on your medical facts. You can walk on with what you know as a physician. Or you can walk over here in my lane where there is peace and where there's joy, and you can walk and let me take care of things. And you know what I did? I weaved. I drift over here into the goodness of God, and I loved it. But then I'd weave back over, and I'd start thinking about, I am dying. Why should I even think that God would heal me? Look at you, Doc. You're in multi-organ failure. You're eat up with cancer. Your organs are being compromised. You're so malnourished, any bug coming along is just going to wipe you out. Then I'd read the Word of God, and I'd be back over here. There's nothing impossible for Him. And I would think about all those things, and it affected my mind. My mind would be over here. I should have, according to the medical science, been in despair, depressed, saddened. It affected my emotions. It should have affected my will. Who do you think you are that God's going to heal you? Why don't you just give up and die? You could free your wife from the misery of having to take care of her. You could go on. But I'd read back over here the Word of God. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord may have chastened me sore, but He's not given me over unto death. And if He's not giving up on me, why should I give up on me? Amen. But I needed something to walk on. I needed a substance that would hold me up to get me from my now over to my hope for. And that word was Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was a substance that I needed to walk on to get me from where I was now into my hope for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God will be that substance that you need. because I was reaching beyond the natural, reaching into the supernatural of God. I was reaching beyond the limitedness of medical science into the unlimitedness power of God and His ability. I was reaching beyond all those things, and it touched me, calmed my mind. I'd think about those green pastures and those still waters, and it would bring peace into my emotions, and it would take away worry and concern. I would think about walking through the shadow, valley of the shadow of death. And I wondered if I had the ability, and I didn't. I didn't, and I didn't think I could make it, but there was somebody with me. There was somebody walking with me. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I didn't have to fear evil, for thou art with me. Praise God. He strengthened my will. He strengthened my mind. He strengthened my emotions. And He lifted me up, and I stood on those words. I wasn't walking along, but He gave me the strength to continue to press on and to build my faith. We've talked about the just shall live by faith. We talked about the substance of things hoped for. And now I want to talk about, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith puts a demand on God to move. And I don't mean to be pretentious, but you can put a demand on God to move. I'm very careful when I say those words because God is sovereign. But I believe that your faith can arise to a point that it puts a demand for action, for help right then. And to give you the example of this, I turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And this is the familiar story of when Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came to Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth homesick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but just speak the word. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said that followed, to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now think about that. Here a centurion, a Roman soldier, an occupier of the land of Israel, that is subjecting God's people to their authority. A centurion, a Gentile who had no claim to the Lord himself, because Jesus was sent not to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. And here this Gentile who had apparently heard of Jesus and believed in the authority and the power of Jesus came to him. He didn't come to him in the power of a Roman soldier with 100 men at his disposal to do his will, whatever he wanted to do. He didn't come to take Jesus to that place and say, you're coming with me. My servant needs healing. You heal him. This centurion, this powerful Roman soldier, he came honestly, humbly, and expecting something of God. And when he came in with his entourage to Jesus, he came humbly and honestly. Honestly because he cared for his servant. Honestly because he knew he couldn't do anything to help his servant who was so sick, severely sick. He saw the misery and he was moved with compassion. He came honestly to Jesus, recognizing who he was, that he was the healer. And he didn't come with a pretentious attitude. He knew that no physician could help him. He came humbly, Pastor. He came willing to bow down, to take off his robe of authority and submit that to the Lord. I need your help. I need you, Lord. Just as we sang that song today, I need you. He came unpretentious and humbly. He even said, I'm not even worthy for you to even come under my house. Even though I'm a man of power and authority, and I've been given that power and authority to do whatever, I'm not worthy for you to even come to my place. He came in humbly, but he came in expecting, because he knew the authority that Christ had. Do you know the authority that Jesus has? He has authority over cancer. He has authority over heart disease. He has authority over all sickness and disease. There is nothing that he can't do. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him to help his people. He recognized the authority of Christ. And he said, just speak the word. That's all you have to do. I recognize your authority. And because of his honesty and his humbleness and his expectation, all that rolled up into the faith of this centurion, his servant was made whole by just speaking the word. This centurion, this Gentile who had no right to even question our Savior, his faith put a demand on him, and that demand had to be met. And that faith moved God to heal with a mighty hand. God can do that then. How much more can he do today? How much more can he do today? He came expecting. He came honest. He came humbly. And God reached into the portals of time, the future, and brought the future of the Gentiles into the present of this Roman centurion. I can tell you, your faith will put a demand on God to move. And your faith will not go unanswered. And he will do what his word says that he will do. Now we're going to be praying for the sick today. And you've heard the words of God. And as they come, if they will sing some more and provide that atmosphere, you can come right now. We're going to believe God for miracles, because there are people right here today that no man can heal you. As great as medical science is and as marvelous as it is, it's insignificant compared to God, because he's the healer. He is the healer. There's no physician has ever healed anybody. God heals, and him alone, it's in his provision that he does that. But I want your faith to arise. And I want you to come honest before the Lord, unpretentious. Come as a little child, honestly before Him, to lay your petition down. I want you to come humbly, just as a centurion did. Lord, I need your help. I'm hurting today. I'm sick today. You've got all power in heaven and earth. Would you just use a little bit of that power to help me, to touch me, to come against the iniquity of this cancer, to come against this brain tumor that nobody can do anything against. Lord, I'm not afraid to die, but I sure would like to live a little bit longer to work in your kingdom. Would you come against the iniquity? As my brothers and sisters come forward to touch their bodies, to touch their hips and their knees and their back, to where they can walk, Lord, to put things that are out of place back in place. As I was telling Pastor David, I was thinking about it this morning. People that are under the conviction, and you may be under conviction today, conviction of a sin-sick heart, where the weight of sin is pressing down on you, where you realize how bad you've been and how you've been away from God and how He's calling you to come forward. And when somebody comes under conviction and cries out to God honestly and openly and humbly, the Lord takes that sin-sick soul and He heals it. He forgives it and He pushes it out as if it never was there. And He restores the purity of your heart and soul to where you can walk humbly before your God. If He can do that in a spiritual sense for your soul, how much more can He do for your body? When you come to Him with the infirmity of whatever the type it is, the same God that forgives heals. And Lord, move cancers out, move arthritis out, move heart disease, restore kidney function, and restore the pristineness into the bodies of people, Lord. Restore them and heal them, Lord. Let's believe God today. Let's believe God today. Allow your faith to rise. And let's put a demand on the Lord. Let His Spirit to move today. This is your work, Lord. This is your work to do today.
You are
now to do the same thing for me. For me, for me.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made the shepherd boy courageous. I may not be scared.